Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, September 21st, 2023, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom that you have given to us in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, this Thursday night class, studying the epistle of 1 John has been very unique. Of all of the apostles, when Jesus Christ was on this earth, the one that the Lord Jesus Christ loved the most was the apostle John. He loved being with John because John got it. Now, Peter, he had to kick in the butt. When you got to tell your apostle, "Get behind me, Satan," that's not a good thing, you know, for that apostle. Peter finally made it. But John was right on the beam right from the start. He totally got what Jesus Christ was teaching. And so here is this. Everybody talks about the Apostle Paul, and he probably was the greatest genius ever in mankind. But the Apostle John was absolutely unique in the fact that he totally got everything Jesus Christ taught. And now he presents it in 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. And he has developed certain words that are very special and used repeatedly throughout 1 John. And we've seen this enough times. First of all, we have the word agape. Now, other apostles use the word agape too, but not to the extent that the Apostle John does. He uses agape more than all the rest. In fact, more than all the rest put together. And he uses this to teach virtue love. He uses this to teach that God is virtue love. God is virtue love. God is infinite, has infinite personal love, and he has infinite impersonal love. And because God is virtue love, he has given us the mandate to, in 1 John 2:3-5, to have virtue love brought to completion in our heart, which is the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. So he uses agape again and again and again and again. He uses it to describe personal love for God the Father, occupation with Jesus Christ as the great motivating virtues, and then he uses it to teach impersonal love for all mankind, the great functional virtue. And we've had this agape used again and again and again. A second word that is unique for the Apostle John is the word meno. M-E-N-long-O. You have it often translated abide. And the Apostle John uses this to teach the spiritual life. And when you see the translation abide, John's using it to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. That's how he uses it. And he uses meno more than any other apostle. John uses it more than anyone. Live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. And now we've also come to see a third one. Gnosko. G-I-N-long-O-S-K-long-O. Gnosko. And it means to know or to come to know. But once again, this is used by John again and again and again and again. He teaches, first of all, you need to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, so that you can grow up and develop virtue love, have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, and then, when that's true, then you will come to know God. You will have personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. And so these he uses again and again and again. And we are in verses that are presenting that. 1 John 4, let's start the corrected translation at verse 1. Beloved ones, royal family of God, stop believing any and every, now he uses the word pneuma here, but spirit is used here very special way by John for communicators of the word of God, influential speakers. So he says here, beloved, royal family of God, stop believing any and every influential speaker, communicator of the word of God. But analyze the spirits, analyze the communicators of God's word, whether they are from God. Because many false prophets, false teachers, have gone out into the world to evangelize for the cosmic system. And this is a polemic against Corinthian Gnosticism. That was the great false teachers, the spirit of Antichrist and false teachers in John's day was Cerinthian Gnosticism. Verse 2. This is how the Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, is recognized. Every spirit, every sound doctrinal communicator who acknowledges and teaches that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. In other words, these sound doctrinal communicators are teaching the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. They are teaching the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ. They are teaching that Jesus Christ is undiminished deity and he is true humanity. And this is all rejected by the spirit of Antichrist, the Cerinthian Gnostics in John's day. So he says, this is how the Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, is recognized. Every sound doctrinal communicator who acknowledges and teaches that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. He's teaching the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God, his hypostatic union, his undiminished deity, his true humanity. But, verse 3, every persuasive speaker, false teacher, who does not acknowledge and teach the Jesus of the God-breathed scriptures, Orthodox Christology and soteriology, he absolutely is not from God. Indeed, this false teaching keeps on being the spirit of the Antichrist. Now there's a distinction he's making here. Spirit of the Antichrist and the Antichrist. This keeps on being the spirit of the Antichrist, about whom the Antichrist of the tribulation, you have heard that he is coming. John has taught eschatological doctrine about the tribulation, the Antichrist, the false prophet, over and over and over. They know all about that. But they haven't learned about the spirit of the Antichrist, which is what he's teaching now. Indeed, this false teaching keeps on being the spirit of the Antichrist, about whom the Antichrist of the tribulation, you have heard that he is coming, but right now in the church age, he, the spirit of Antichrist, false teachers, are already in the world. They keep on being in the world right now. Verse 4, you, believers living the spiritual life, you are from God, dear children, students under authority, and you have overcome them, the false teachers, the spirit of Antichrist. You've cleared the hurdles of people testing, because greater is he who is in you, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, than he who is in the world, Satan. Verse 5. They, false teachers, belong to the cosmic system, the cosmos. Therefore, because of this, they keep on teaching from the source of the cosmic system. And the world, the cosmos, all those living in the cosmic system, both believers and unbelievers, they keep on listening to them, to the spirit of Antichrist, to these false teachers. They keep on listening to them and they follow their false teaching. Verse 6, we and only we, Orthodox pastors communicating the grace and truth of the God-breathed scriptures, are from the living and true God, the one who has come to know God, Gnosko, the one who has developed personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. He keeps on listening to us, sound doctrinal teachers. But the one who is not from God absolutely does not listen to us. He does not follow the teaching of the God-breathed scriptures. By this we have come to know, to discern, to understand the Spirit of Truth, a special title given to God the Holy Spirit. He has the title, the Spirit of Truth. And that's God the Holy Spirit. And the spirit of error, delusion, deceit. Verse 7. Beloved, royal family of God in union with Christ, let us love one another. Impersonal love for all. Because impersonal love is from the source of God. And furthermore, everyone who loves with impersonal love for all, he has been born from the source of God, regeneration, and he has gnoskoed, he has come to know God. He has developed personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. Now, in these last two verses here in chapter 4, verse 6 and verse 7, the key word is gnosko. Now, it's the key word here in 1 John 4, verses 6 and 7. John has already taught this in detail in 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. And in 1 John 2, verse 3, he says, we know that we have gnoskoed him, that we have come to know God, personal love for God the Father, and occupation with Christ. And now there is a condition. If there's a condition, you'd have not come to know God. You do not have personal love for God or occupation with Christ unless you fulfill this condition. And the condition is if we obey his mandates. Now, what are the mandates for us in the church age? The mandates are to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. The mandates are spiritual skill number one. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. Walk by means of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. It is spiritual skill number two. The teaching ministry of the Spirit. 2 Peter 3:18. Grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is fulfilling the prohibition. Stop grieving the Holy Spirit. Stop quenching the Holy Spirit. These are all mandates for us to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Those are the mandates. So in 1 John 2, verse 3, John says, we know that we have gnoskoed him, that we have come to know God, personal love for God the Father, and occupation with Christ, if we fulfill this condition, if we obey his mandate. And then he goes on in verse 4. The one who keeps on claiming that I have gnoskoed God, that I know God, and I've heard a lot of believers that say that, and they are, just like this verse, liars. Total liars. The one who keeps on claiming that I know God, I've gnoskoed God, but he does not obey his mandates, he is a liar, and the absolute truth of the Word of God is not in him. And then verse 5. But, and again he gives the condition, if, here's the condition, but if anyone keeps on obeying his Word, the mandates of God's Word to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, then the love for God has truly been brought to completion in his heart. And by this, we have gnoskoed. We have come to know and realize that we are minnowing in him, abiding in him, that we are living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Now, John has already taught that, and we studied that. 1 John 2, 3-5. Now he's picking it up again, and he doesn't have to go back over all that. I'm not John. I feel like we better go back over all of that. I know you're all geniuses. I am so blessed to have a congregation of total geniuses. You only have to be taught one time, and you all got it. Nailed it down. John is teaching this now in 1 John 4, verses 6 and 7. And the phrase in 1 John 4, 6 and 1 John 4, 7, and he has come to know God, gnosko. This is the believer with positive volition and humility, respect for the authority of God, respect for the authority of the Word of God, respect for the authority of the pastor who teaches the Word of God, who then consistently and faithfully assembles in a sound doctrinal church and metabolizes Bible doctrine. And the result is that he obeys the mandates of God's Word. He obeys the mandates to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. He grows up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And as a result, he has virtue love brought to completion in his heart, which is the ultimate objective of the spiritual life of the church age. The one who has come to know God, gnosko, has developed personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. And once you gnosko, first to have personal love for God and occupation with Christ, you got to know the Word of God. And when you know the Word of God, maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart, once you have the mind of Christ, then you will love God more than life itself. You will actually get to the point of the Apostle Paul, who said, "For me, to live is Christ." Now that is only a testimony of a winner believer. For me, to live is Christ. With virtue love brought to completion in your heart, you have problem-solving devices that lead to great capacity for love, great capacity for life, great capacity for happiness. And then we noted scriptures related to personal love for God the Father, such as Romans 5:5, which says, "And hope never disappoints, because love for God, personal love for God the Father, has been poured out in our hearts by the agency of the Holy Spirit." That's through spiritual skill number one, the filling of the Spirit. Spiritual skill number two, the teaching ministry of the Spirit. Who, the Holy Spirit, was given to us, the universal indwelling of the Holy Spirit to every church age believer. And then 1 Corinthians 2:9. "Just as it stands written, things which the eye has not seen, and it has not entered into the heart of mankind, all that God has prepared for those who love Him." Personal love for God the Father. When you develop personal love for God the Father, life will become the most fantastic thing. God has prepared for you things that are exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. But doctrine must come first and have priority over everything else in your life. It's very sad today in America. We're living in apostasy and degeneracy. There are a lot of Christians in America. Really are. But for most of those Christians, God and the Word of God is way down here. Hardly even on the scale. They have so many things higher and more important than Bible doctrine, than God and His Word. Well, it might be on there, but it's at the bottom. In the totem pole, it's the bottom part of the totem pole. You know, the bottom probably got the Indian who's, tongues hanging out from all the way. And if that's the case, well, you will never, ever come to have personal love for God the Father, and you will never, ever have occupation with Jesus Christ. And then we have scripture of personal love for Jesus Christ, or occupation with Christ, such as 2 Corinthians 5:14, which says, "For the love for Christ motivates us." Personal love for Christ motivates us and emphasizes priority in our life. As Paul said in Philippians 1:21, "For to me to live is Christ." Number one priority. Ephesians 6:24, "Grace to all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an incorruptible love." This is personal love for Jesus Christ, occupation with Christ. So think of it. You can have an incorruptible love for Jesus Christ, and that overflows into an incorruptible love for all mankind. 1 Peter 1:8, "Though you have not seen Him, you love Him," Jesus Christ. "And even though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you rejoice with an inexpressible and glorious happiness." So your personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ is related to happiness. Self-contained happiness, plus H. Occupation with Christ and self-contained happiness, they go together. They're two sides of the same coin. Failure to have personal love for Jesus Christ means you will also not have happiness, self-contained happiness. In fact, you will be unhappy as a Christian as long as you live. 1 Corinthians 16:22, "If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, then let him be anathema maranatha," which means cursed until the rapture. No personal love for Jesus Christ means no happiness, and you are under a curse as a believer. When you grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18, then you will have personal love for Jesus Christ, occupation with Christ, and you will share the happiness of God. And with that love for Christ and happiness, you will have a fantastic life in relationship to people and to values and to principles. So, one, in other words, personal love as a virtue is always directed toward God. Personal love as a virtue is always directed toward God. God the Father, personal love for God the Father. God the Son, occupation with Jesus Christ. Now, personal love directed toward man is always virtue dependent. Always virtue dependent. It must be inside the integrity envelope of impersonal love for all. But for personal love as a virtue is always directed toward God. Two, personal love for God the Father and God the Son are great problem-solving devices for those who attain spiritual adulthood. problem-solving devices to clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing. So personal love for God the Father and God the Son are great problem-solving devices for those who attain spiritual adulthood. 3, personal love for God the Father provides the only true and genuine motivation for believers in the church age to live the spiritual life. Personal love for God the Father provides the only true and genuine motivation for believers in the church age to live the spiritual life. Once you have that personal love for God the Father, you're motivated. You're motivated. You're motivated to find a sound doctrinal Bible teaching church and getting there to feed on the grace and the truth of the Word of God day by day by day by day. Hemera kai hemera, which we studied in our Wednesday class. It took me a while after I believed in Christ. I believed in Christ right before my senior year of high school. I was just a baby believer. That's it. Baby. I knew nothing except that I was saved. That's all I knew. And I stayed a baby believer all through my senior year of high school. Went to Washington State University. For the first 2 years at Washington State University, I was a baby believer. I knew I was a baby believer in diapers. All I did was, well, like babies do, drink a little formula and poop my diapers. That's all I did. And then God in His grace, through wonderful people, Earl Dannon, Campus Crusade for Christ. Love that guy. He was a guy from a farmer from Minnesota. Blind as a bat. And he kept coming to my room and kept encouraging me to come to Bethany Bible Church. The great pastor there. He really teaches like it is. So I went, sat in the back row like some of you back row Baptists, sat in the back row, and first class I heard rebound, top circle, bottom circle. I've been a believer now for 3 years and I didn't even know how to get back in fellowship with God. How awesome. How awesome that was. So I rebounded. Got back into fellowship. It felt like 2,000 pounds got off my shoulders. And all the way back to the dorm, I just thought that was fantastic. And Earl came by again, and I said, Earl, you don't have to invite me. I'm going. And at first I went a few times when I thought it was convenient, like some of you do now. I only went when it was convenient. But I learned a little bit here, and a little bit there, and a little bit here, and a little bit there. And I kept growing and growing, and then all of a sudden the light went on. And the light went on, I realized that Bible doctrine was more important than the air that I breathe. God had placed it over His very name. And when I realized that, I shifted gears. I used to keep going to see Pastor Breckel, and I had all these questions. Pastor Breckel, I was giving the gospel to this person, and I said this, and they said that, and I didn't know the answer. And so he would sit down, and he'd show me in the Bible. And then I'd see him a couple of days later. Pastor Breckel, I was giving the gospel, and I said this, and they said that, and I didn't know the answer. And I kept doing this, and finally he said, Dick, can't you see what God is trying to tell you? I said, well, I am Norwegian. I'm a little slow. He's trying to tell you, you need Bible doctrine. I've taught all these things. I've taught all these things. He's telling you, you need Bible doctrine. The light went on. I go, that's exactly what he's telling me. He's telling me, I need Bible doctrine. That was it. That was it. Nothing was more important than Bible doctrine from that point on. I was in class every time he taught. I was there. And once that was real, why, I would make sure when I was at Dallas Theological Seminary and preparing for the ministry and came home for the summers. I worked in Pullman for a cement finisher, Marshall Nichols. I knew nothing about concrete work, but he trained me. And I said, here's the deal, Marshall. We can start at 3 o'clock in the morning. That's fine. It's the summer. I understand. Cement sets up real fast. But we can start at 3 in the morning, but you have to get me up to a Bethany Bible Church on time every night for Bible class. I have to be there, period. And if you can't do that, I'm not to be your cement finisher, period. We'll get it. I'll work somewhere else. He said, okay. And we did start at 3 o'clock. Many mornings we started at 3 o'clock, but he always got me to Bethany on time for Bible class because it was more important than anything else in my life. More important. And as I nailed that down, why? Then I grew up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. I came to know God, had personal love for God the Father, and occupation with Jesus Christ. Personal love for God the Father provides the only true and genuine motivation for believers in the church age. For personal love for Jesus Christ, occupation with Christ, is the only true and genuine priority solution for believers in the church age. Personal love for Jesus Christ, occupation with Christ, is the only true and genuine priority solution for believers in the church age. 5, personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ insulates the believer against arrogance and all of its mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. Once you get to that point of coming to know God, personal love for God the Father, and occupation with Christ, mental attitude sin, you'll sin, but mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue, that's out. That's no longer an issue anymore. But why? Because you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And once you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, the motivational virtues of personal love for God and occupation with Christ motivates impersonal love for all. And that means you treat all mankind with virtue. You treat all mankind with virtue, with honor, with integrity. Even the scum of the world, you treat them with virtue and honor and integrity. And if you are not treating all mankind with virtue, honor, and integrity, then you do not have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Period. Over and out. But when you do have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, when you have come to know God, personal love for God the Father, and occupation with Christ, then you will treat all mankind, the good, the bad, the ugly, the scum, those who hate you, you will love with the virtue, with honor, with integrity, with no mental attitude sins, with no sins of the tongue. Oh, you will sin. You're still have a sin nature, but those will be gone. That's not an issue anymore. So personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ insulates the believer against arrogance and all of its mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13 says, "And now abides faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love, virtue love." So once again, 1 John 4, 7 says, "Beloved, royal family of God, let us love one another, impersonal love for all. Virtue, honor, and integrity directed to all mankind, because impersonal love is from the source of God. Furthermore, everyone who loves impersonal love for all has been born from the source of God, regeneration, and he has gnoskoed God. He has come to know God. He has developed personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ." One, impersonal love for all mankind is commanded in every Bible mandate, and there's three different ways that these mandates are given in the Scriptures. The mandate to love one another, and that's given over and over and over again, to love one another. The second is to love the brethren, which is to love all believers. I found that it was a lot easier to love unbelievers than it was to love most believers. Some of the worst jackasses walking on the face of the earth are believers. Arrogant. I can't tell you how many members of the royal family, they're going to be in heaven. And they hate Pastor Olson, malign Pastor Olson, slander Pastor Olson, judge Pastor Olson. And I know that. You might think that it's kind of kept. Don't you know when you tell, you want everybody to find out, just tell a secret, or tell a woman, you know, away it goes. Tell some men too, so. I have to say that because my wife. No, I tell you, I have been blessed. The Bible calls it a helpmeet. It's a helper corresponding to the husband. I have been blessed with the greatest helper corresponding to a husband that any husband could ever, ever, ever have. And you talk about blessing and happiness, and she is absolutely the best. I can't. Harlan Dotson, when he was here, he would say, "I love Debbie. She doesn't have an old sin nature." Well, I know she has an old sin nature, but I understand what he was saying. She's the best. So to love one another, that mandate, the mandate to love the brethren, all fellow believers, and the mandate to love your neighbor as yourself. Doesn't mean your person living next to you, but to love your neighbor as yourself. Two, we are commanded to love one another, impersonal love for all, because impersonal love is from the source of God. From the source of God. That's our verse. 1 John 4, 7. Beloved, royal family, let us love one another with impersonal love for all, because impersonal love is from the source of God. So we're commanded to love one another, impersonal love for all, because impersonal love is from the source of God. Three, impersonal love is from the source of the Spirit of God. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. And that first word summarizes everything else in that is a part of virtue love. And so the fruit of the Spirit is virtue love, and a part of virtue love is impersonal love for all. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, and now we have it amplified. And joy, the other side of the coin of occupation with Christ, is sharing the happiness of God, and peace, and reconciliation, and patience, and kindness, and generosity, and fidelity or faithfulness, and tolerance, grace orientation, and self-control. And against such things there is no law. So, impersonal love is from the source of the Spirit of God. When you're living the spiritual life, filled with the Spirit. Four, impersonal love is from the source of the Word of God in your heart. Maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. Impersonal love is from the source of the Word of God in your heart. Epinosis doctrine. Maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. 1 Peter 1:22. Since you have... Now, listen. Since you have, by means of obedience to the truth of the Word of God, since you have, by means of obedience to the truth, consistent and faithful metabolization of doctrine, purified your souls for an unhypocritical love of the brethren, impersonal love for all the royal family. Therefore, fervently love one another from the heart. Impersonal love for all. 1 Peter 1:22. Five. This is impersonal love from the source of the filling of the Spirit, combined with the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, resulting in impersonal love from the source of God. This is impersonal love from the source of the filling of the Spirit, combined with the teaching ministry of the Spirit, resulting in impersonal love from the source of God. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. If you want to follow along and turn over, though, that's fine. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. But may the Lord cause you to increase and to overflow with love for one another, impersonal love for all, and for all men, just as we also do for you, have impersonal love for you. And then 1 Thessalonians 4:9. Now, concerning love for the brethren, impersonal love for the entire royal family. You have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves keep on being God-taught. God-taught, that's the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit and grace perspicacity. You have been God-taught to love one another. Now, what is this God-taught? Well, it is Operation Z. And I didn't come up with this. The Colonel came up with this. And it beautifully teaches grace perspicacity. It starts out with a spiritual gift. Being God taught. If you're going to be God taught, you have to be under the authority of the spiritual gift of pastor teacher. Now, if you could have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, retain spiritual maturity without a spiritual gift of pastor teacher, I'd send you all home. Go home. Go home and read the Bible on your own. See how you do. See how far you go. Just go home and study a little butt off. And you'd come back. Well, don't even come back. No sense coming back. You don't even have to come to church. Why To hell with Upland Bible Church. To hell with the Sound Doctrinal Teaching Church. You just go and do whatever you want, then, you know, have a little bit of time. And there's a lot of believers that their study involves, well, I'm going to read through the Bible in 1 year. And they do fine. They usually do okay. They start out with Genesis. They do better if they started in Revelation. But anyway, they go through Genesis. And then Exodus. Then all of a sudden, Leviticus. And they get bogged down in Leviticus. They never do get in the year through the Bible. And they don't make it. Grace perspicacity demands a spiritual gift pastor-teacher. And if you're not under the authority of the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher, you will never grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Never. You will be a loser your entire life. And that pastor-teacher teaches the Word of God eisegetically, categorically, exegetically. And he teaches it. Now you assemble in that Sound Bible Teaching Church, and you assemble under the filling of the Holy Spirit. And we try to give you time, silent prayer, rebound if necessary, to make sure you're filled with the Spirit. And there's a combination. The spiritual gift of pastor-teacher is communicating the absolute truth of God's Word. Now God, the Holy Spirit, under the filling of the Spirit, takes up that communication by the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher and teaches your human spirit. And this is called in the Bible, pneumatikos. Now let me see if I can get that. Pneumatikos, which is spiritual phenomena. So now, pastor-teacher teaches the God-breathed scriptures. God, the Holy Spirit, takes that communication, teaches your human spirit. Now it becomes spiritual phenomena. Pneumatikos. And then it goes down here to the nous. That's the left lobe. That's the mind. And in here, it's gnosis doctrine. Now you got gnosis doctrine. You understand. You're, as long as you're filled with the Spirit. Now, if you're not, if you're out of fellowship and carnal, why, then you'll distort whatever's taught anyway. And we have believers that come here and they're out of fellowship with God. They distort the teaching of the Word, and then they never comprehend truth. But in this case, we'll say that you are in fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit. Now that spiritual phenomena, pneumatikos, comes to your mind, and you understand the issue. But, what are you going to do with it? You have a volition. If your volition goes negative and you say, I reject that, then it won't benefit you at all. There's no spiritual momentum. There's no spiritual growth. You're not growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and you will never, ever apply that absolute truth of the Word of God to your life. On the other hand, if your volition goes positive and you believe that truth, now it reaches the target. And the target for the Word of God is your cardia, the right lobe, the heart. That is the target for God's Word. This is gnosis doctrine. This is epinosis doctrine. Now you have metabolized doctrine in the heart. This is what it means to be God-taught. Now, concerning love for the brethren, impersonal love for all, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourself keep on being God-taught. This is grace perspicacity, Operation Z. You have been taught to love one another. 2 Thessalonians 1:3, we are obligated always to give thanks to God for you, brethren. And it's fitting, because that which is believed by you, the Word of God, is increasing abundantly. Maximum metabolized doctrine. through spiritual skill number one, the filling of the Spirit, spiritual skill number two, the teaching ministry of the Spirit, and the love of each one of you toward one another, impersonal love for all, is growing ever greater as a result of living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. So 1 John 4:7, beloved royal family, let us love one another with impersonal love for all, because impersonal love is from the source of God. Furthermore, everyone who loves impersonal love for all has been born from the source of God, regeneration, and has gnoskoed God. He has come to know God, personal love for God the Father, and occupation with Jesus Christ. One, personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ are two separate and distinct categories of virtue love. Personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ are two separate and distinct categories of virtue love. Two, personal love for God the Father produces one thing, while personal love for God the Son, occupation with Christ, produces something else in your spiritual life. So personal love for God the Father produces one thing, while personal love for God the Son, occupation with Christ, produces something else in your spiritual life. Three, they are both problem-solving devices, and they are both a part of virtue love as the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. They are both problem-solving devices, and they are both part of virtue love as the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. Four, love for God the Son, occupation with Jesus Christ, is a motivational virtue that emphasizes priority in the spiritual life. So love for God the Son, occupation with Christ, is a motivational virtue that emphasizes priority in the spiritual life. And when you have that, that's when you can say with Paul, for me, to live is Christ. Five, love for God the Father emphasizes motivation to live the spiritual life. Love for God the Father emphasizes motivation to live the spiritual life. Six, personal love for God the Father is the motivational virtue that motivates impersonal love for all, which is the functional virtue of the spiritual life. Which is the functional virtue of the spiritual life. Fulfilling the mandate to love one another, fulfilling the mandate to love the brethren, fulfilling the mandate to love your neighbor as yourself. Seven, motivation is very important in our life. And your motivation must come from God. Not from yourself, not from other people, but from God. Motivation is very important in life, and your motivation must come from God. Now, if you have no personal love for God the Father and no occupation with Christ, inevitably, you will wind up a casualty in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. Instead of living the spiritual life by the grace and power of God, you will live your life by your own power in Satan's cosmic system. 8. Impersonal love for all mankind is the ultimate expression of virtue and honor and integrity and humility and objectivity and spiritual advance of the subject. Impersonal love for all mankind is the ultimate expression of virtue and honor and integrity and humility and objectivity and spiritual advance of the subject. Now, that's 8 points here. Point 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13 are very, very important. Well, first 8 were important too. I'm not saying they weren't important. We've run out of time for tonight, and so we're going to start with point 9 next week. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace to us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the air that we breathe. We ask, sir, that God the Holy Spirit might challenge each one of us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.